KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising 'cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host today. As usual, we are sponsored by North State Consultants, Inc., the best tax prep and consultants in the business. Their telephone number is 530-221-0101. And consultations by appointment only. You're listening to 1460 KCNR, home of the Free Fire Media. Today is April 28th, 2012. And wow, time flies when you're having fun. I'm here in the studio with Rachel, our soundboard operator and all-around good gal.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rachel. And also, I'm here with my guest this morning, Gary Cadd from Shasta Coordination.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How you doing today?
Doing just fine.
Next week, we're going to have Phil Berg from the Obama.Crimes. He was one of the first, or actually the first attorney that filed the suit against Obama on his eligibility. Let's see. You can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. Reading Tea Party Monday night. They will be having debates on Churn Creek Bottom and Knighton Road Shopping Mall and the Measure A and B voting. Let's see, anything else? So Ron Paul is meeting at 3 p.m. on Sunday at the Holiday Market on Placer by Starbucks. They'll be walking the precincts. And Ron Paul's going to be in, I believe it's Davis, on Thursday. So let's see what else we got here. Well, I'll start with our first quote. Tricks and treachery are the practice of fools that don't have brains enough to be honest. And that was Benjamin Franklin. The greatest deception men suffer is from their own opinions. That was Leonardo da Vinci.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I'm going to read my memo today. You know, I'm just trying to figure things out here. And so I'll go right into it. I would like to address what I think are the fundamental differences between who conservatives will vote for this November. I think that the one part is the belief that whether Ron Paul can win or not and where that belief comes from. Most people I talk to say they would vote for Paul if they thought he had a chance of winning. So my question is, why do some of us believe he can win and some of us don't? I think it is because the Romney camp still believes that the mainstream media is telling us. And the Ron Paul camp believes that the information we're getting is propaganda. The other thing is, that the Romney camp believes, I think, is that they believe that Romney can't be as bad as Obama. You know, my question is, did you think Obama was going to be as bad as Obama? Remember Hope and Change? Well, what we do know is that both Romney and Obama are backed by the same moneyed interest. Why do people assume that Romney will be better? His record indicates otherwise, or are we going to believe what he says he will do or what he has done in the past? If Obamacare was a giant step towards a fascist state, and it was modeled after Romney care, I guess I just don't get it. We now have a propaganda machine, in my opinion, equivalent to pre-World War II Germany. And I will give some examples. First, let's take Joe Arpaio's criminal investigation of Obama. Not a word in the press. How about the two Supreme Court cases pending right now on his eligibility to be president? Or how about the economic data that's been doctored to reflect 8.2% unemployment or 2% inflation? You know, I could go on, but I think you get the picture. Now, for me to believe when the press tells me that Paul can't win, I just think it's more propaganda. The evidence suggests otherwise if you look into it. The other thing is that, for me, is that you can't win the game if you keep voting for the opposition. Sometimes you have to stand up for what's right, regardless of the consequences. What I keep hearing from the Romney supporters is that we have to vote against freedom to save it. We have to vote for a socialist in order to save capitalism. We have to vote so we don't lose the game instead of voting to win the game. Does this sound as familiar to you as it does to me? We are in Game 7 of the World Series, and the other team is telling you you can't win. Sometimes you have to swing for the fence to win, so you have to put your best hitter in and try to win the game. I think it comes down to one thing for me. Do you believe that there's still enough real Americans left who believe in America and the Constitution or not? Or are we now too dumb to discern lies from truth? Should we just give up and settle for another big government politician? I guess I still believe in the American people. Maybe I'm wrong. Make no mistake, we are in a fight for our freedom, and we better start playing to win. Do your homework, believe nothing the mainstream media tells you, and we can still win this. Now, as promised, I brought a little bit on Ron Paul's foreign policy here. Ron Paul supports the troops, and as president, he will bring them home. It is time to return a foreign policy that puts America's security first, not fighting wars, policing, and nation-building all over the world. Our troops are too valuable to be needlessly put in harm's way to serve other nations' interests. The U.S. now has over 900 military installations over 150 countries. National security has been compromised because our troops are spread too thin. They belong home defending America. Ron Paul knows our nation is the federal government's most important duty. Ron Paul voted to use our military forces to target Osama bin Laden and supposed terrorist leaders. He voted against the needless war supported by the other candidates. War is never an economical benefit except for those in a position to profit from the war expenditures. If we want to go to war, the Congress should declare it. You should get a declaration of war, and you should fight it, and you should win it, and get it over with. We don't go to war like we did in Vietnam and Korea because the wars never end. That's Ron Paul. So, enough of that. Now, let's go to the first news items I have. Let's update on the birther report here. Eligibility. We've got a federal court now questioning Obama's eligibility. This is a federal court, and I believe it's in, I'm not sure exactly what state we're in here. This is quoted from the court. The court finds that the federal question presented the meaning of the phrase natural born citizen as a qualification for the presidency is set out in Article 2 of the Constitution. It is important and not trivial. The issue of whether President Obama is constitutionally qualified to run for the presidency is certainly substantial. It is clear that the stated federal issues of President Obama's qualifications for office are actually disputed and substantial. It is also clear that there will be a legal dispute over the Constitution's definition of natural-born citizen and the Supreme Court decision in Minor. So this just keeps getting more and more out there. It's not going to go away because there is a substantial problem with his holding office at this point and his eligibility. I highly suggest if you want to do some homework and not believe everybody in the mainstream media, I would go and Google 2012 Vetting Obama 100% Proof and go through that little exercise for about a half an hour and read it. It sources all the original documents. It sources the Founding Fathers' letters. Again, that's 2012 Vetting Obama 100% Proof, and that will give you the things that you need to know on the issues to understand what the issues are. So, also, oh, we got a minute here. Sheriff Joe Arpaio is now releasing more information soon on Obama. He's under attack. He says he has no intention of resigning. He's running for a sixth term as sheriff of Maricopa County. So they've been putting a lot of pressure on him to either resign or, you know, stop pursuing this. But he's going to keep coming out with more evidence, and evidently there is a lot more evidence on our commander-in-chief's supposed eligibility. So stay tuned, folks. That's going to keep coming. Next week we have Eric Byrd on. So with that, I think we can go to a break. We'll come back with a little more economic stuff, and then we'll get to our guest, Gary Catt.
Everything turns. For shopping at Bastiani Arms. It is now 6 o'clock and we are now closed. Please bring your purchases up to the register at this time.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Just kidding.
The good guys at Bastiani Arms will continue to give you the attention and service you've come to expect. Even if you need them after hours, they still treat every customer the old-fashioned way with respect and first-class customer service. If you're buying a new gun anytime soon, remember Bastiani Arms, your locally owned and operated firearms dealer. New or used, Bastiani Arms is Redding's most knowledgeable firearms dealer on handguns, rifles, shotguns, and off-list AR lower receivers. No fishing poles or camping equipment sold here. No, sir. Bastiani Arms is Redding's exclusive firearms dealer. They appreciate your business and thank you for keeping your dollars here in our community. Bastiani Arms on the corner of Larkspur and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Everywhere around the world.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Woodward.
And Aaron Ryan.
We'd like to have you join us on Sunday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. on KCNR 1460 for We the People Talk Radio. We are all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
You know what? We've done programs on federal and state land use issues, governmental overreach, family values behind the green mask, Second Amendment and other constitutional issues, technocracy and the smart grid, the monetary system, of course, spending, taxes, and debt, topics that fall under We the People. We want to know what topics you would like to hear about. Email Aaron at wethepeopleradio.us for more information. Bust on to wethepeopleradio.us and the archives are there for your listening pleasure.
We the People Radio, bringing to you topics that affect you no matter where you live. Come join the previously silent majority.
See you Sunday.
We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Maxwell Silverhammer is going to come down on their heads, I guarantee it. Yeah, we're back, 1460. Oh, boy, what a morning. Let's see. What else do I got here? I've got, this is on the economy, Michael Kreiger on the rebirth of barter. And this is talking about what's happening here is that one of the most important articles that he read this week, this is from ZeroHedge.com, is that... barter is what's happening is that China is starting to barter with Iran for paying for oil and gold. Not only that, but he mentions that China has already been bartering with Iran to get a hold of petroleum. He says, so how can Beijing keep both Iran's ayatollahs and the President Obama happy at the same time? Simple. The Chinese can avoid the U.S. sanctions through barter. China has already been trading its produce for Iran's petroleum, but there is only so much guy land and bok choy the Iranians can eat. That's why Iran is also accepting, among other goods, Chinese washing machines, refrigerators, toys, clothes, cosmetics, and toiletry. The barter trade works, but Iran needs cash too. As it is being cut off from the global financial system, the next best thing is gold. So we should not be surprised that in late February, the Iranian central bank said it would accept that metal as payment for oil. Last year, China imported 21.7 billion of Iranian oil and exported 14.8 billion of goods and services. As the NDAA goes into effect, look for Beijing to ship gold to Iran to make up the difference. So that's an interesting little side note what is this whole Iranian thing about? Is it about central banking and oil, or is it about actually nuclear weapons? I think that the propaganda has been spewed. Okay, so the next article I have here is when fundamentals no longer apply. This is again from Zero Hedge. Review the fundamentals, Eric Sprott. And basically, it's saying when fundamentals no longer apply, review the fundamentals. This may not come as a surprise, but we're not seeing it. We're not seeing a U.S. recovery. Here we are in 2012. The fact remains that U.S. housing situation is still a bust. There are simply no housing recovery happening in the United States. U.S. new home sales fell for the fourth time in a row, month over month in March, repeating as a seasonal adjusted annual average of 328,000 down from 353,000 in February. Do you know what the annual rate of new home sales was back in 2008? It was about 1.21 million. No recovery there. Same goes for U.S. existing home sales, which fell unexpectedly by 2.6% in March to an annual rate of 4.48 million units. Again, would you care to know how where they were in the same month back in 2006 before the financial system fell apart? Approximately 6.92 million units. No recovery there either. Let's see. Then there's unemployment. Judging by all the recent released cheerleading, March's job numbers seem to have been forgotten, but they were plainly weak. The U.S. Labor Department showed U.S. hiring slowing to a mere 120,000 new jobs in March, below the expected 200,000 plus. That's not a recovery either. That's simply weak data. Same goes for the most recent jobless. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Are you guys getting the picture that maybe that they're just not telling us the truth and they're painting a rosy picture of sunshine and lollipops because we have an election coming and somebody wants to get reelected? So, all right, last article here before we get to our guest. This is Eric Sprott. This is from King World News. Global shocks coming. Investors need to prepare. Today, millionaire Eric Sprott told King World News that Europeans have now lost their confidence in both the banking system and the sovereigns. Sprott, who is chairman of Sprott Asset Management, also warned the global economy is now rolling over and investors need to be prepared. Here's what Sprott had to say about the situation. The Ponzi scheme in the financial world continues. Month after month, there is a new technique for trying to prevent the dominoes from falling. We see that people are doing the logical thing. They are taking money out of the banking system. So basically, they're having runs on banks in Europe. Of course, the biggest example recently is Spain, where they took $65 billion out of the banks in the last reported month. That's why we have to have the LTRO, and for those who don't know what LTRO is, that's long-term refinancing operation, which means they're just going to print more money, which provided over $1 trillion to European banks because people are taking their money out. We already know that the banks can't find the deposit withdrawals and therefore have to borrow from the ECB, European Central Bank. The European citizens, have lost confidence in one, the banking system, and two, in the sovereign. So that ought to show you. I mean, we're not getting any of this news, guys, so it ought to concern you that this is coming here, and so you need to prepare. Now, with that, let's get to our guest, Gary. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing just fine. Hey, one thing that I wanted to bring up might be a little on the local side, but this last week here on KCNR, Jeff Hess was a guest on Free Fire Radio, and several people called in and talked about the transportation portion of that project down there and why Caltrans is suing the county and the project. And one thing I'd like to bring up, back when the Shasta County Planning Commission held a meeting first part of June of last year, there were several motions that were brought up that moved that project forward. One motion is quite interesting. I'd like to read the motion and maybe we can talk about it. It's to adopt statements, that's plural, adopt statements of overriding considerations for impacts identified in the EIR Environmental Impact Report that are significant and unavoidable. This basically says they're adopting a statement that they're just going to override these significant and unavoidable problems with that project down there. So it's probably no wonder that Caltrans had a problem with that project.
Maybe we should say that in English for the people who don't quite understand what that just said. Basically, what the Board of Supervisors are doing is they're saying that none of these concerns matter. We're going to just override them and move on with the project regardless of whether they are important or acceptable or whatever. Is that
correct?
Am I reading that correctly?
That's exactly what it says. It said they're significant and unavoidable. So we're significant and unavoidable. There's nothing we can do about it. So let's just go ahead with the project. We just won't worry about those problems.
Well, I guess, so where are we going with this? We got Measure A and B coming. This is going to be a topic at the Tea Party on Monday down at Bonneview. So I've been trying to catch up on this topic. I'm not as well versed as I'd like to, but,
Well, Measure A, if Measure A passes with a yes vote, then they're clear to go ahead and build outside of the lawsuit.
Right.
The lawsuit's still hanging fire. If it's no, then that will stop building. Then B is a little more cloudy. B changes the zoning back to the way it was before they changed the zoning. The board supervisors changed the zoning. Plus the fact it's got a 24-year time period to where you can't change the zoning. And I think that B was very poorly written. So if you want to allow the changes to stay down there, you vote yes. If you don't, you vote no.
Isn't there some kind of a conflict going on here? Because we got the guy who owns the flour mill. He wants to build a mill over there, mm-hmm. A little touristy thing or whatever. And that sounded really good to me. But what does that do? Open the door for this big, huge shopping center to come in when they change the zoning? Is that the big issue?
Well, in essence, yes. And, I'm not an attorney, so I can't truthfully say. I think that to allow the flour mill in a project down there, a no vote on B will leave everything just the way it is. Just no vote on B. Then if you're in favor of the shopping center, vote yes on A. If you're not, no on A. And for those folks that are trying to stop it down there, I think it's no on A and yes on B. Then you got this thing in your head. Which one do I vote yes on? Which one do I vote no on? If you're against it, vote no and no. If you're in favor of it, vote yes and yes, or yes and no, whatever you want to do. But if you're against it, no is the word if you're against the project.
It just seems to me that why are these things linked at the hip? I mean, it seems to me, we got the property rights on both sides because, that sounds reasonable for me if the guy owns 60 acres that he could do whatever he wants with it, build his little mill or whatever. Why is that linked to the shopping center? Because then the other property rights, so there's property rights on both sides to be considered. And then we got this big conglomerate moving in to build this shopping center that seems to me is like, really? It's like, why do we need another shopping center? Because look at all the empty buildings that are around now. So we need another one? I don't get where's the linkage at, Gary?
Well, actually, the linkage comes to me to the transportation. If you build the shopping center, you're going to have one heck of a traffic jam in that block area from Churn Creek, Pacheco Road on Knighton over to the freeway. There's just not enough room. Because keep in mind, you're going to have the trucks coming out of the backside of the truck stop, up to a stoplight in Pacheco, Churn Creek, turn left onto Knighton Road. If you look at the map that they have online, it's actually going to be an 8-lane overpass. So if you're making a left-hand turn, you're in the inside lane. But if you want to go north on I-5, you got to move clear to the outside lane in that short period of time. Plus, there's a stoplight in the middle of it.
8-lane overpass.
Well, I mean, that's what's being projected.
Why can't we have one and not the other? Why can't we have the little thing for the flour mill and not this big shopping center? I don't. What's up with that?
Well, a no and no vote would take care of that if that's what you're wanting to do. I mean, I'm not trying to sway anybody.
I want to do anything. I just don't understand why they have to have, why is one not mutually exclusive of the other.
the way it was written.
Just the way. So, in other words, it's the same old political tactic of that we're going to throw a bunch of stuff on the bill and shotgun it and see what sticks to the wall. And if we, you know, use one lever to get the other lever pulled.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, oh, boy, I swear. Anyway, we're going to a break now. This is 1460 KCNR, home of Free Fire. And we'll be right back with more Churn Creek Bottom stuff.
I'm Jeff Hess with Hawkins Companies, a family-owned business for over 35 years. Part of our goal when coming into a community is to add economic development. In addition, we try to identify community problems and provide solutions. For instance, Sheriff Pasinko and a number of Reading police officers have indicated the need for additional jail space. Our retail developments, such as Sportsman's Warehouse, will earmark thousands of dollars for public safety. We appreciate all of your support.
Feel tired, run down, or in pain? You don't have to live this way. Maybe we can help. Hi, I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. For 18 years, I've had a chiropractic and nutrition practice on Court Street in Reading. Our customized program of body work and nutrition can give you renewed energy, a stronger immune system, and a healthier outlook on life. Call us at 244-7873. It's your health. You deserve it. That number again is 244-7873.
There was such a big success last month giving one local veteran a $300 tattoo. Nathan's Anthems has decided to open it up to all our listeners. You could win a free tattoo worth $300. Stop in and sign up today. Nathan's Anthems is always revolutionizing the tattoo and piercing industry by continuously raising standards. Nathan's is now offering permanent cosmetics. Call or visit to consult. All tattoos are personal, and we know that. That's why our team of professional artists is here for you. If you can think it, we can ink it. Come visit. Check out the galleries of work done by both artists and piercers. Meet the crew and take a tour. Open every day, located on the corner of Market and Tehama. Nathan's has the largest display of body jewelry north of the Bay Area. Come in and see for yourself how we do things. Nathan's Anthems has professional body piercers and tattoo artists. That means you will receive the utmost level of care when getting your next body modification. The $300 free tattoo offer is now till the end of the month. Nathan's Anthems, where you can feel comfortable and customer service is paramount. Nathan's Anthems, 1358 Market Street, Reading.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how do I? All I need is my brother. I say I'm gonna get it out.
Okay, we're back. Yeah, with a little help from my friends there, Joe Cocker. I mean, that's some good stuff there. And so, with a little help from our friends, can we keep the farmland growing stuff in the farm belt?
Well, that's probably going to come up. Actually, people say, I think it's what, June the 5th is the election day, the June the 3rd. I'm not exactly sure which day it is. But one thing people need to remind, that is not election day.
Mm.
Election day will start the first week in May when the mail-out ballots are mailed out. And roughly 50% of the people get, about 56% of the people get mail-out ballots. So they get those the first part of May. Over 50 to 60% of those people that get them in the first part of May fill them out the first week they have them. So there's a whole month long of election. And if somebody's running for office, you need to be realizing that the election's going to be over the first part of May if you're not already in the, you know, out there getting your information out and talking and stuff like this. June, the first Tuesday in June is not election day. It's the end of election.
I can't help but laugh and comment on the chat room. We've got Al saying, why don't we move all the panhandlers down there so we could have a panhandler mall? And then John says, but they'll all starve to death because they'll be the only ones there.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, because I don't know. You know, when Mr. Hess was on the radio, he didn't mention an anchor. He didn't mention anybody that wants to build down there. And it would seem as though that they would have people lined up and people that would want to have their name mentioned, like, hey, we're going to be down here.
So what do you think, that the big developer is going to come in, build this huge mall, sell it, walk away? I mean, I would think the farmland would be worth a lot more at this point because, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I think we're kind of going into a real crisis here of food and a lot of other things because the politicians are just lying out their rear ends and on everything. So.
Well, you know, I at times get the pulse of the community, talk to a lot of different people that I associate during my week, and I'm getting the feeling that Measure A is going to be defeated.
Okay.
It's not going to move forward. That will stop it. Then having said that, there's a lot of movement in the community within the county, and I've been traveling to all areas of the county here recently, and I'm getting that feedback. Now, and I'm not asking them, how do you feel about it? I'm just listening to what they're saying.
Right.
All right. Then having that feel, then turning around and realizing that the lawsuit with the state of California is suing the county and the project, I know what's being said, that we're within a yard of being there, or we're close to having it over and done with. The word I'm getting, it's going to court in September. Hmm. Going to court in September doesn't sound like you're an inch away or a yard away or anything else. It looks like there are problems that are going to go to court to have them taken care of. So there's two things that are not looking really well in forming that project. And the thing with it is, I hate to say that I'm against the project. I am against the project for one reason, and one reason only. For the traffic down there. The traffic scheme is messed up. It's not right. Wow. You can change timing. You can do whatever you want to do. It will not work in that location.
So, well, why don't they refurbish some of the stuff we have up here in the area already? All these empty buildings that seem to be laying around. I mean, I don't get why this is such a big deal to develop this land out there. To me, it just seems nonsensical to go after this farmland when there's a lot of other places that are much closer into town here that would work. And so I'm just not sure what the motivation is at this point.
A lot of money's being spent. There's another thing looked at. When it was before the Planning Commission last June, it was mentioned that there were two, not one, but two transportation EIRs put together on that project. And I'm understanding that the comment was, well, the first one was too hard to understand, so we did a second one. And then I think Mr. Hess, if I'm not mistaken, made the comment on the radio last week that now there's a third plan. Well, ordinarily, you don't have to go through plan number two and number three when you put a project together. And I know that the first company that did it, Fair and Pers, is done a lot of work here in the Redding and Shasta County area. So they're reputable. So I wonder what was going on there outside the fact that maybe we had to just keep getting one until we got the answer we wanted. Hmm. Possibly. I'm saying that's possible. I don't know.
Who stands to benefit from this, I guess, is the question. Who's going to benefit from this project going forward? I mean,
the Hawkins group is going to profit from it because they're the ones going to be making the money. They're going to own the mall. They're going to be doing leasing.
Well, it just seems to me that there would be a better way to go. Why is this piece of land? Do they already own this piece of land, or are they going to buy it?
Truthfully, I cannot tell you. I don't know if they have a lease on it or if they've actually out and out bought it. I really do not know the answer to that, so I can't comment.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out, to follow the money. So it just doesn't make any sense to me that there's something kind of fishy about this whole thing, and why it just keeps cropping up and coming back. You know?
There's another thing that's coming up on it, too, and it was before the Board of Supervisors here at this last meeting. It's called tax sharing agreement. And I'm going to say this again. No government entities in the state of California have ever entered into a tax sharing agreement where the money went into the general fund to pay wages, health care, benefits, and these kind of things from the general fund. Now, having said that, yes, government entities have MOUs, memorandum of understandings, and come together to build a freeway. Sonoma County and Santa Rosa came together. They've had a bottleneck over in Santa Rosa on Highway 101 since 1960s. And yes, they did get together. And they do have a tax sharing agreement for a project. It's a particular project. It's a particular amount of money. And it will come to, it has an end. But the tax sharing agreement they're talking about here in Shasta County won't have an end. It'll go on and on. Now, had we had the city county back in 05, put a tax sharing agreement together, the city would have come out on top. The county would have been the loser and the city would have been the gainer. And then in, I think it was 07, early 08, somewhere near, they attempted another one. Had that one gone through, the city would be paying the county $1 million a year out of that one. So it was vice versa.
Interesting.
So the thing with it is you can't have a strong county and a weak city. It's not going to work. If you have a strong city and a weak county, it's not going to work. So the tax sharing agreement means really what needs to be done is that the government entity, county, city, has to go out and do the diligent work that needs to be done. As far as putting a mall out in the county, go for it. But at least you have to do it and put a project together that works.
Right.
Transportation that works and other overriding impacts. They're significant and unavoidable. You can't go down on that road.
I think it's a dumb thing just from a monetary standpoint of how, I mean, look at the economy right now. I mean, you know, and so you're going to put a big mall down there like it's going to be successful? It doesn't make any sense to me from just a businessman's perspective. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I don't know everything about developing real estate. I've been in real estate. You know, I've been in business for 30-some-odd years. I actually do the legal tax work for probably 900 businesses. And at this point, it makes no sense to me from a monetary standpoint why they've targeted this area.
It's hard to understand. So the tax sharing agreement is part of what they're talking about. The county's talking about.
Well, the county, you can tell. You can see what they're in. They're thinking big bucks from the money standpoint. I'm talking about from the developer standpoint. It doesn't make any sense to me unless they're looking to take a loss. I mean, maybe that's the answer. I don't know.
Well, you know, stop looking at other things. Chevy's closed down, what, last Saturday, was it, or Tuesday? But Chevy's restaurant here in town closed down. So, yeah, they closed
down.
Yeah,
Chevy's the restaurant.
So we still have businesses closing, shuttering.
But that's we're recovering, Gary.
We're on the way back up again.
Yeah, we're coming out of intensive care, going into from on the gurney into ICU.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It seriously does not make sense in some of the direction we're going. And like you said earlier, there's been times that the federal government's come out and said, oh, we have a unemployment's down. And then they just laid off 12,000 people at GM or Chrysler or something. I remember here a couple of years ago they were talking about that.
At this point, I think you got to be a moron to believe anything the government tells you. The media has actually just become it's like Goebbels in Germany or something anymore. I mean, they just whatever the government tells them to say, basically, they're out there saying it. It doesn't matter what the facts say or do
otherwise. Don't confuse me with the facts.
Yeah, facts. What facts? We've got John Dixon on the line here. I think, you know, how you doing, John?
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning, John. Morning. We're doing great. Listen, we want to keep you on the line. I think we're about ready for a break. Yeah, we'll go to a break here. And then as soon as we come back, because I know you're pretty up on this stuff, John.
Well,
so.
I don't know how up I am. I'm pretty hot about it.
Okay, so you're pretty hot on this stuff. Drink, you know, put some cream in your coffee, and we'll be right back.
Buddy. I'll be here.
Patrick Henry Jones, and I'm running for Supervisor District 3. Proven leadership for Shasta County. I grew up here in Shasta County. I've worked at Jones's Fort for over 30 years. I've been the lone conservative voice on Redding City Council, and I've served as Redding's mayor in 2010. One of the most important issues facing eastern Shasta County is the protection of our water rights. Vote for me, Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 3, paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 3, 2012.
It's Drake and Bill.
Hey, Drake.
Hey, Bill. Don't you just love sunbathing in the park?
Yeah, Drake. It's so relaxing just soaking up the sun. Better be careful, though. Don't want your bill to get sunburned.
Hey, Bill. You see what I'm seeing?
Oh!
That lady's dog's about to... Oh, no. Not there. Oh.
Ew. Why did you make me look at that?
Oh. No, it's cool. She's prepared. She brought a bag to clean it up. Check it out. Turn the bag inside out. Scoop. All gone. Like it never happened.
Ah, she's smart. Probably knows that if that stuff gets into the storm drains, it's going to pollute rivers and streams.
Ugh, dogs are disgusting.
What Drake and Bill are trying to say is not everyone understands that our storm drains can flow directly into our streams and rivers. Pollutants can cause adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even ducks. This message brought to you by the City of Redding Public Works Stormwater Program.
Hi, I'm Bob Moore from Moore's Flour Mill, and I'd like to clear up some confusion. Measure B has nothing to do with the proposed shopping mall on Knighton Road. Measure B is an extreme measure that would dictate what hundreds of private property owners can or cannot do with their land. Measure B is supposed to protect farming, but if it passes, I won't be able to expand my organic farm in Cherry Creek Bottom or allow the public to buy fresh milled grain products at the farm. So please, vote no on Measure B. It's got absolutely nothing to do with the shopping mall.
Paid for by Moore's Flour Mill.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby. Lonely days are gone, I'm going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. When she wrote me a letter, said she couldn't live without me no more. Listen, mister, can't you see I got to get back to my baby once more? Anyway, yeah, give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. The only days are gone, I'm a-going home.
My baby, she wrote me a letter.
Yeah, boy. So do you think I got a shot, you know, at being a singer?
Oh, sure. I'm sure you do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, boy. We got John on the line. How you doing this morning, John? Did you get the cream of your coffee?
Don't be a letter. No, we don't. Good morning, Mark. How are you this morning?
I'm good. You know, yeah, hey, the fun never stops.
First of all, I want to say thank you to Gary for being an advocate for this area and being a person who gets involved and stands up and fights the good fight at all. Whether you agree with his position on something, know that he's informed and know that he's going to bring the information to you the right way. Thanks, Gary.
Well, you're more than welcome, John.
Yeah, I think we really need to give Gary some kudos so he gets some energy, because he has done a lot of work here. You know, I know that he's just real tired of the battle here a little bit, but,
you know. He's one of the most passionate people I know, and he seems to have an unending reserve of concern, and I like it. I think it's great.
Well, it seems that there are some people in the community, the feedback's coming back to me, that why are you talking to Gary Cadd? He's just a troublemaker. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Gary,
the thing with it is,
keep making trouble.
Yeah, well, I know Patrick Jones tells me I'm a pain in the behind, but, you know.
Well, I appreciate your effort, and I just wanted to applaud it, too.
Thank you.
Now, let's get back to this thing about the mall, the non-mall, because when I talked to Hess on the radio, Mr. Jeff Hess, the chairman, CEO of Hawkins Construction Company, Development Company, he said it's not a mall.
It's a regional shopping center.
Has two major buildings at both ends, and it's covered. So if it's uncovered and it's not a mall, it's probably a strip mall. And we need to get that kind of identified and clarified as well. But there's so many issues about this thing that are wrong. First of all, they're planning on providing a stipend to the Pacheco school that's there on the corner that they're not supposed to be building that close to, of $250,000 a year, which the state will then reduce their budget by $250,000, and it'll be a complete wash. So there's no net gain to the school, no improvement to the school, nothing that's going to work in its benefit.
Well, and John, there's another thing too. They actually call it a regional mall. There's a regional mall just south of where this mall is being projected to be put in. It's the Anderson Outlets, and they are closing down almost daily. I mean, I think about half of that.
They're 50% closed.
Right, right. So,
hey, did I miss something here? Did you guys? I was on the chat room. Did you guys say something about strippers at the mall?
No. No, actually, we didn't, Mark.
Oh, sorry. I'll go back to the chat room.
Now, the other thing is, and Gary, I think you're probably better up on this than I am, more up on this than I am, but I'm a little bit up on it. The floodplain that the mall is being built in is not part of the environmental impact report and study that was done on it.
I believe you're correct, John, but I cannot speak to that issue because I it's been so long ago since I read the ERR report, which is back early spring.
I'm stuttering a little bit on it, but I know that FEMA is going to be contacted about this and looking into it.
Right. And, well, they're looking all over areas of Redding. I mean, we live up on the west side, up on a ridge, and we got a deal from FEMA telling us that we should sign up for flood insurance. Yeah.
I know. I got that,
yeah,
too.
If the water comes to us, this whole area is going to be El Gonola.
Hey, it's going to be a tidal wave coming over the mountain.
Right.
It's not the same thing down there in Churn Creek Bottom. Basically, where they're talking about building is in the bottomland of Churn Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a floodplain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost an 8-foot down floodplain from what the standard is.
I'll agree with you, but I have to comment that I really don't know. I mean, I'd have to go back and read that report again.
I only know based on one of the homes that has been recently approved and built there that had to be raised up. They had to build a mound 8 foot high to be able to put the home up on top of it to be able to build.
Seems like I think I've seen several homes down there that are in that type of a situation now.
Maybe they're thinking that the Shasta Dam's going to be taken out pretty soon.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Let me go back here. Let me go back and read something here again.
Go.
Adopt statements, plural, of overriding considerations of impacts identified in the EIR, Environmental Impact Report, as significant and unavoidable. So you're adopting a statement to override the considerations of the impact.
Of the, yes.
Right.
Can we find what those statements are? If they adopted them, I mean...
Well, they're probably in the EIR. In fact, I'm sure they are. And the thing with it is, I have to go back and say I'd have to read it again to really bring them out to you. Although I do know transportation is one, and it's not just one statement. There are several statements in that EIR.
It seems to me it'd be good to go back and get the list of the statements that they adopted to see what the impact would be. From all the different angles of those things that they said, hey, we're just going to ignore these things.
Yeah, sure. I mean, John, if I could change the subject on you here. there's another thing that's really bothering me, and I and others, I can't say just Gary, others have been working on it. The Northern Sacramento Valley Integrated Regional Water Management Planning Group. Now, the way the county joined this, you're supposed to join it as a county, and the county finally finalized that last Tuesday, but they've been in the project for 2 years. So there's a bit of a problem there as far as I'm concerned. And the biggest thing for me is their Proposition 84 has 16 standards that they have to. Did you hear me say have to? They have to comply with.
Comply with, yes.
And one of the standards is data management, and the other standard is climate change. And you know how long have I been working on and talking about climate action plan. This is coming down the pike, and this group is going to be fundamentally putting it into our water situation. Well, if any water agency, community service district or anything else wants to go to the state, not the federal government, not to private business for a grant, but to the state of California for a grant, they're going to have to comply with climate change within the plans that are being put together. And California Department of Water Resources will be updating these as we go, because they put a new committee together to ongoingly change climate change. This is going to be a big thing. And when it comes down the pike at us, we're going to wonder what in the heck hit us. And they're going to say, oh, well, hey, 2 years ago, we put this into effect.
Gary, can you tie this into the sustainable energy plan for us?
Can I tie it in?
Yes.
Well, of course.
Going to affect this?
Well, it's going to affect you, your water usage, non-point pollution is you could be in your yard and have a seasonal stream creek behind your house. And in time, they can come in and say you got too much nitrates going down that creek, and you're going to have to pay to have it cleaned up. You won't clean it; they'll come clean it for you.
So we're looking at water, air, power.
Oh yeah, water, air, power, your cars,
transportation.
It's every form of our life is going to change under what they were moving forward and doing. And they're coming at us from so many different directions that at times I just think I want to duck, cover and duck.
I understand.
But you
can't. Can I ask you a specific, though?
Yeah.
I understand that the majority of the immediacy of this is to reduce our carbon footprint to the 2002 or 2003?
Oh, the car. Well, by 2020, they want to reduce the carbon footprint by 20% by 2020 from 1990. And then they want to additionally reduce it. Let me get this in, John. They want to additionally reduce it by 2050 by 80%, 80% by 2050. Can you imagine? First of all, I don't know where they're...
Zero growth.
Pardon?
Zero growth.
Right, zero growth. Now you stop and think a second. What is going to happen to our economy? What's going to happen to our economy when this extremist movement moves forward in California? What's going to happen to the economy? Are we going to have an economy? And the thing with it is Nevada's not doing it, Oregon's not doing it, Arizona's not doing it, the rest of the country or the world's not doing it, but we're doing it here because we're going to save the world. What's going to happen is we're not going to have an economy any longer.
I'm going to go chainsaw a tree down today.
Well, you know, the thing with it is it's truthful. I mean, it's an argument that we the people need to be making because we have elected officials and unelected bureaucrats.
That's what I wanted to ask.
Unelected bureaucrats are the ones that the elected officials are putting bills together. The bills
the
they're putting together
don't
are
seem to understand what this is about.
Right, it's an outline. The elected official puts a bill together. It's an outline. SBX 77, Senate Bill Extraordinary Session 7, Bill Number 7. Extraordinary is the legislature's way of saying emergency. If this was such an emergency that they had to move forward under 7-7, they are going to reduce per capita water suppliers for us in the cities. The water suppliers, City of Redding, Bella Vista, are going to reduce the water by 10%. By 2015 and an additional 10% by 2020. They're calling it 20 by 2020. So they're going to be reducing the water. Where's the water going? It's going south.
Listen, guys.
Of course it is.
I got to cut you off. We're out of time.
I know you do. It's too sad because I'd like to hear how our county officials are fighting rapidly and vigorously against this.
Well, we'll go into this another day. Keep that in mind, and maybe we can lengthen our time next week. Hopefully, we'll go from there. Anyway, listen, I want to thank Gary Cad for coming in. I thank John Dixon from Gary from Shasta Coordination. That Ron Paul meeting Sunday 3 Holiday Market at Placer by Starbucks. We the People Radio 8 to 10 tomorrow. Next week, Phil Berg from Obama. Crimes.com. Half the work that is done in the world is to make things appear that they are not. That's E.R. Beagle. Government is reason. It is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. This is Mark Kent putting parties above principles. Remember, you have to be aware to be prepared. Keep storing and stacking.
Goodbye.
This is KCNR Shasta, Redding.
And I think to myself,
Fox News Radio, I'm Pam Pusso. Protecting American soldiers off the battlefield. In his weekly address, President Obama taking aim at unscrupulous college recruiters who try to swindle soldiers for their federal education benefits.
We're making sure veterans and service members get a simple fact sheet called Know Before You Owe that lays out all the information they need about financial aid and paying for college.
Under an executive order signed yesterday, recruiter access to military bases will be limited and recruiters will be required to disclose the true cost of a diploma. The Republican address, all about the federal budget, House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan criticizing the president for failing to put the country on a path to a lower deficit.
The president is hunkered down in campaign mode and seems intent on dividing Americans for political gain instead of offering credible solutions to our most pressing fiscal and economic challenges.
Ryan also taking shots at the democratically controlled Senate for not producing a budget. The party's over for the Secret Service, a new